Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldhar, and today we're Zichu Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches, the third parak Luv HaGazel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Misha Bam Baderech, Boya Biyado Luv Lito. If one was traveling on the road and did not have a luv in hand to take and perform the mitzvah, when he enters his home, Yito Al Shulchano, he should take the luv at his table. If one didn't take the luv in the morning, he should take it in the afternoon, Shekoyim Kasher Luluv, for the entire day is kosher for taking the luv. The Gemara presents a contradiction in the Mishnah. It states that one takes a luv at the table, l'memer d'mapsik, which is to say that he must interrupt his meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But it states in the Mishnah in Shabbos that if one began his meal before davening mincha, eim mapsikin, he is not required to interrupt his meal, but can finish and daven afterwards. Rav Safra said there's no contradiction. The Mishnah in Shabbos refers to where there's enough time in the day to finish the meal and daven, whereas our Mishnah is dealing with when there is not enough time to finish and take the luv. When Rav suggested that a more obvious distinction is that one must interrupt for a luv because it's a deraisa, whereas davening is only a derabbanan, Rabbi Zera said the case of the luv was on the second day of the chag. Gemara says that this is implied from the mission which stated he was traveling on the way, which cannot be done on the first day of Yantav. Pointing to the next mission discusses the mitzvah halal. The Gemara brings Rav who said, major halachas can be deduced from the current custom for the recitation of halal. Rashi explains that the custom in Rav's time changed considerably from when halal was instituted by the Nevi'im. Originally, not everyone was proficient in reading, so the Nevi'im established the minhag for one person to recite halal, and the others would listen and respond halukah after each phrase. By Rav's time, most people were proficient enough to recite halal on their own, and the custom became to recite it in unison with the Baal Tefillah, except in certain places. The first halacha of six that Rav mentioned was that the Baal Tefillah would recite the first word halukah, and the people would respond halukah. Mikansha mitzvah zlanos halukah. From here it can be inferred that it's a mitzvah to respond halukah at the beginning of halal. And pointing with Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said the following statement in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, who said it in the name of Bar Kapara. From where is it derived that listening is like responding and that one has fulfilled his chiyuv? For it's written, Kol divrei sefer shekara melech Yehuda, all the words of the scroll which the king of Yehuda read, referring to Yoshio. Now, was it Yoshio that read the sefer? No. It was Shaphan who read them, as it's written, Yikra'ehu Shaphan lifnei ha-melech. Shaphan then read it before the king. Rather, can be inferred from here that Shomea Ko'ona, that listening is like responding. When the Gemara suggested perhaps Yoshio had read the sefer after Shaphan had read it, Rav Acha bar Yaakov answered that it's not so, for it's written, Yan rach levavcha v'tikana b'pnei Hashem b'shema'acha, because your heart is soft and you humbled yourself before Hashem when you heard the words of the scroll. The pasuk says, when you heard and not when you read. So once again, the three points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Misha Baba Derech Vaya Biyada Luv Glito. If one was traveling on the road and didn't have a luv in hand to take and perform the mitzvah when he enters his home, Yito Al Shulchano, he should take the luv at his table. If one didn't take the luv in the morning, he should take it in the afternoon, Shekol Yom Kasher Luluv, for the entire day is kosher for taking the luv. The Gemara presents a contradiction. It states that one takes the luv at the table, but Memer Demapsik, which is to say that he must interrupt his meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But it states in the Mishnah in Shabbos that if one began his meal before davening mincha, a mapsikin, he's not required to interrupt his meal, but can finish and daven afterwards. Rav Safra said that there's no contradiction. The Mishnah in Shabbos refers to where there's enough time in the day to finish the meal and daven, whereas our Mishnah is dealing when there's not enough time to finish and take the luluv. When Rav suggested that a more obvious distinction is that one must interrupt for a luluv because it's a deraisa, whereas davening is only the rabbanan, Rabbi Zera said the case of luluv was on the second day of the chag. The Gemara says that this is implied from the Mishnah, which stated he was traveling on the way, which cannot be done on the first day of Yantav. Pointing to the next Mishnah discusses the mitzvah of halal. The Gemara brings Rav who said, Hilchas ha-gabirasa ikul mishma min hagad halela. Major halachas can be deduced from the current custom for the recitation of halal. Rashi explains that the custom in Rav's time changed considerably from when halal was instituted by the Nevi'im. Originally, not everyone was proficient in reading, so the Nevi'im established the minhag for one person to recite halal, and the others would listen and respond halukah after each phrase. By Rav's time, most people were proficient enough to recite halal on their own, and the custom came to recite it in unison with the Baal Tefillah, except in certain places. The first halacha of six that Rav mentioned was that the Baal Tefillah would recite the word halukah, and the people would respond halukah. Mikansha mitzvah zlanos halukah. From here it can be inferred that it's a mitzvah to respond halukah at the beginning of halal. And point number three, Rav Shimon ben Pazi said the following statement in the name of Rav Yishuv ben Levi, who said it in the name of Bar Kapara. From where is it derived that listening is like responding and then one has fulfilled his chiyuv? For it's written, Kol divrei sefer shekara melech Yehuda, all the words of the scroll which the king of Yehuda read, referring to Yoshio. Now, was it Yoshio that read the sefer? No, it was Shaphan who read them, as it's written, Yikra'ehu Shaphan lifnei ha-melech. Shaphan then read it before the king. Rather, it can be inferred from here that Shomea Ko'ona, that listening, is like responding. When the Gemara suggests that perhaps Yoshio had read the Sefer after Shaphan had read it, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov answered that it's not so, for it's written, because your heart is soft, and you humbled yourself before Hashem when you heard the words of the scroll. The pasuk says, when you heard, and not when you read. All right, so now we go to our simver daf lamed ches, and our standard simen is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. So chicken soup is a simen, so here goes. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting hallel with halleluka, upon which his guests responded in kind, except for the man who was busy enjoying his matzah ball, who merely listened as his form of response. Once again, slow motion. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, that must be more on daf lamed ches, a davar lach. When the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a contradiction and states in the Mishnah that one takes the lulav at the table, l'meima d'mafsik, which is to say that he must interrupt his meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But it states in the Mishnah in Shabbos that if one began his meal before davening mincha, mapsikim, he's not required to interrupt his meal, but can finish in daven afterwards. Rav Safra said there's no stira. The Mishnah in Shabbos refers to where there's enough time in the day to finish the meal in daven, whereas our Mishnah is dealing with when there's not enough time to finish and take the lulav. So when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting hallel with halleluka, upon which his guests responded in kind. Which reminds the Gemara brings Rav, who said major halachas can be deduced from the current custom for the recitation of hallel. Rashi explains that the custom in Rav's time changed considerably from when hallel was instituted by the Nevi'im, as people became more proficient in reciting hallel together with the Baal Tefillah, and the custom was to do it in unison, except in certain places. The first halacha of six that Rav mentioned was that the Baal Tefillah would recite the first word halleluka, and the people would respond halleluka. From here, it can be inferred that it's a mitzvah to respond halleluka at the beginning of hallel. So, when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting hallel with halleluka, upon which his guests responded in kind, except for the man who was busy enjoying his matzah ball, who merely listened as his form of response. Which reminds us that the source for Shomea Ko'ona comes from the pasuk that states that Yoshiyahu read from the Sefer when in fact he listened to Shaphan read it. We see from here that Shomea Ko'ona. So once again, when the host interrupted his chicken soup meal, when he saw that his lulav had arrived, he began reciting Hallel with Halleluka, upon which his guests responded in kind, except for the man who was busy enjoying his matzah ball, who merely listened as his form of response. All right, now it's time for our four blah ba'a chazora. Daf Lamadal, so the simmer Daf Lamadalid is a ladder. So here goes. The ladder, that must be on Daf Lamadalid. The ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzavtzava with serrated edges, which reminds us the term arve nachu refers to aravos that grow by a brook and excludes tzavtzava which grow among the mountains. The Gemara brings a braisa that distinguishes between arava and tzavtzava. The arava, its stem is red and its leaf is elongated and the edge of its leaf is smooth. The tzavtzava, its stem is white, its leaf is rounded and the edge of its leaf is serrated like a sickle. So the ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzavtzava with serrated edges, had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a lulav on the first rung. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah brings Malchokas Tanan regarding how many of each species must be taken. Rabbi Shmuel holds that one must take three adasim, two aravos, one lulav, and one esrog. Rabbi Kiva says that just as only one lulav and one esrog are required, so too only one hadas and one arava are required. Abraisa states that Rabbi Shmuel said, pre-eitz hadar teaches that one esrog is a required amount. Kapos Tamarim refers to one lulav since kapos is written without the vav. The three words of anav eitz avos allude to the three hadasim, and arve nachol refers to two aravos. So the ladder covered in white-stemmed and rounded leaf tzatzifa with serrated edges had three adasim on the third rung, two aravos on the second rung, and a lulav on the first rung, with the esrog all alone on the side. Which reminds us, in the same braisa, Rebbe Eliezer said that one might have thought that the esrog should be tied together with the other three species in one bundle. Since the pasuk says pre-eitz hadar, kapos tamarim, without the connecting letter vav, this teaches that the esrog is not bundled with the other species. And how do we know that the dal minim are ma'ak of one another? That if one takes only three of the four, meaning he has completely failed to fulfill the mitzvah? The Torah therefore teaches v'lakachtem shetehei l'kichotama, and you shall take, which indicates that it should be a complete taken. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yezu expounds v'lakachtem as v'lakachtatam, and you shall take completely. Daf lamed hei, so the simmer daf lamed hei is the children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The pre-eitz hadar children's choir, that must be more in daf lamed hei, la la la. The pre-eitz hadar children's choir comprised of kids of different ages, dressed up as esrogim, singing in a tree, which reminds us that we have four different pshatim regarding the pasuk of pre-eitz hadar. Either it's Shatama Eitz Kadama Pri, or read it as Hadir, that the Esrog tree is like a corral, in that the new fruits arrive when the older fruits are still on the tree, because an Esrog is different from other fruits, in that it can be on the tree for a number of years, or Altikra Hadar El Hadar, Shadar B'Ilanu Mishana Lashana, that it dwells on the tree from year after year, or Altikra Hadar El Idar, which is Greek for water, since the Esrog tree relies upon both rainfall and irrigation. So the pre-Eitz Hadar children's choir, comprised of kids of different ages, dress up as Esrogim, singing in a tree, wouldn't let the kid in the Orla Esrog kashim, which reminds us that there are two reasons given for why an Esrog of Orla is possible, either because it has no heter achila, or it doesn't have a din mamon, since Orla is asubana and would not fulfill l'lekal kemochem. Now, while the Gemara says that everybody agrees that an Esrog requires a heter achila, there is a disagreement whether it requires a din mamon. The nafkamina is Maisa Sheni eaten in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Meir. While it does have a heter achila, since it's in Yerushalayim, it does not have a din mamon, according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, Maisa Sheni is mamon gavoa, it belongs to the Most High, and not considered the money of the owner. So the pre-Eitz Hadar children's choir, comprised of kids of different ages, dress up as Esrogim, singing in a tree, wouldn't let the kid in the Orla Esrog kashim, and the one who broke his pitam, join them. Which reminds the Mishnah said, Nitl pitmaso aser, if the pitam is removed, it is aser because it's chaser, it's deficient. Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar brought a brisa with the reading nitla buchnaso, its pestle was removed. This reading reflects the fact that the pitam is pointed and its shape resembles that of a pestle. Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar informs us that the esrog is possible only if the base of the pitam is missing, but not if the bud is missing. Daf Lamed Vav. So the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The embarrassed merchant who sold 36 lulavim. 36 lulavim? That must be on Daf Lamed Vav. 36. The embarrassed merchant who sold 36 lulavim with what turned out to be trefas rogim, which reminds us, Rava inquired, Nod be esrog simani trefa mahu, what is the halach of the signs of a trefa appeared in an esrog, if its flesh is dissolved but the inner pockets containing the seeds are intact? Perhaps in the case of a lung, where the bronchial tubes are still intact, since the external atmosphere doesn't impact on it, for the lung is enclosed within the body, that even though the flesh has dissolved, hadar barya, it can regenerate, and that's why the animal is not a trefa. But here in the case of the esrog, the external atmosphere does impact on it, and it inevitably rots once the flesh has dissolved, and since it doesn't regenerate, the esrog is pasul. Or perhaps there is no difference between the lung and the esrog. The Gemara's attempt to resolve the question is not successful. So the embarrassed merchant who sold 36 lulavim with what turned out to be trefes rogim, replaced them with esrogim that looked like water wheels, which reminds us there was stated in a brisa, Gadu betfus v'asuk mimbriya recheres pasul. If one grew the esrog in a mold and it formed like another species, it's possible Rava said that they taught this only when one formed an esrog like another species. But if one shaped like its own form, it's kosher. The Gemara asks, that's obvious, the Bryce is stipulated like another species, and answers that Rava's statement was necessary concerning a case where the esrog was fashioned with many planks, which refers to a mold that caused the esrog to grow in the shape of a water wheel, with numerous broad spokes emerging from a central core. Rava teaches that this is considered a normal form of esrog. So the embarrassed merchant who sold 36 lulavim with what turned out to be trefes rogim, replaced him with esrogim that looked like water wheels, and gave each person a free egged, from one of the Dal meaning. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Ein ogdin es aluv el bemino, we may not bind the lulav bundle except with its own kind. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds, Afil b'chut m'mashicha, we may bind it even with one thread. Rava says Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is that he holds lulav sarich eged, that the lulav requires bundling with the other species as part of the mitzvah. Rashi explains that since the eged is required, whatever is joined in the bundle, even as a wrapping, is considered an inherent part of the mitzvah. Therefore, if one uses a fifth material, he will violate a bal tosif, the prohibition of adding to a mitzvah. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The laser tag champ. Laser tag champ. That must be more Daf Lamed Zayin. The laser tag champ hiding out in the sukkah with the dalad meaning schach, which reminds us of Malchus Ramir and the Rebuta whether the schach can be made of anything that grows from the ground and is not makabel tuma, or it must come from the dalad meaning. Rebuta brings the kal v'chomer for the mitzvah of luv. If the luv, which only applies by day, comes to the dalad meaning, kal v'chomer to the sukkah, which applies in the day and the night, that it should come for the dalad meaning. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Kol din shatadant chilas l'hachmer v'sof l'hakel eno din. Any kal v'chomer that you advance with the intent to be more machmer, but whose end results in a kula, is not an admissible kal v'chomer. For according to you, if one cannot find schach in the dal meaning, he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And the pasuk says, Pasukas teshu shivas yamim, sukkas yushol dwell for 7 days. So the laser tag champ, hiding out in the sukkah with the dal meaning schach, zapped his rival as he was sniffing a hadas. Which reminds the Gemara cites a number of Rabba's rulings, Hadas shal mitzvah asul ariechbo, esrog shal mitzvah mutal ariechbo. Concerning the hadas that's designated for the mitzvah, it's forbidden to smell in sukkahs, but concerning the esrog, designated for the mitzvah, one is permitted to smell it on Sukkos. So what's the reason? With respect to Hadas, which normally stands to be used for smelling, when one sets it aside for the mitzvah, he sets it aside from the use of smelling. And Rashi explains that the prohibition is derived through the analogy of the sukkah. The chal shem shemayim alatzei sukkah, the wood, is consecrated for the mitzvah of sukkah and may not be used for other purposes. But with respect to the esrog, which normally stands to be used for eating, when one sets it aside for the mitzvah, he set it aside from the use of eating. But he didn't set it aside from the use of smelling. So the laser tag champ, hiding out in the sukkah with the dalet meaning schach, zapped his rival as he was sniffing a hadas and kept the enemy team at bay by waving his laser gun back and forth. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains the symbolism of the waving the lulav back and forth and up and down. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldner Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.